The Trump administration has finally moved to appoint a new director of the National Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, but that still leaves nearly 45 high-level federal science and technology positions open. That includes the director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, a title which has been in place since 1976. Does this mean the current administration is less interested in science, and could it leave the U.S. in a more vulnerable position? Former Office of Science and Technology Policy Director Neil Lane is one who has expressed concerns. He's currently a senior fellow in science and technology policy at Rice University's Baker Institute, and he joins me. Neil, you worked under President Bill Clinton, who was curious about many things. When it comes to having high-level science advisors, how important is it for a president to be extremely interested in those topics?
Well, Bill Clinton was, as you say, intellectually curious about everything, and he would be quick to say he didn't know science, but of course, he often knew more than he said he did. Current President Trump has not called himself a science president by any means, nor has anybody else suggested that. And science was not an important part of his campaign. He didn't talk about it, and he hasn't talked about it much since then. The office now is down to a small fraction of what it was during President Obama's administration, and there are still good people there working, and they're trying to make sure the office meets its responsibilities, but it's a very different situation. You ask, how important is it? The president generally gets conflicting advice about most important policy issues, and he's got plenty of people around him to give him legal advice, political advice, economic advice. He needs a person who will give him the straight story on what the science is, say, on an issue like climate change or vaccines or many other issues that, possible pandemics, cyber attacks and such things. He needs a straight story on the science, unvarnished by any of these other kind of influences. And then he can weigh that in making his decision.
When you compare day to day, knowing what's going on with Americans as far as how science affects all our lives, and then the big ideas, and of course I think about President Kennedy talking about putting a man on the moon and whatnot, is it a combination of the day to day with also thinking about how America can do really big things in the world when it comes to the realm of science?
Well, it is a balance issue. You make a very important point. And the way I think about my job when I was there and the job of a science advisor, if there is one under President Trump, is to deal with that on a day-to-day basis. And so the most immediate things that the president will have to worry about are crises. So a Katrina, a 9/11, a Zika outbreak, a natural disaster, the asteroid is coming. I mean, suddenly you got to do something, and you need quick response. You need somebody there who doesn't have to read all the literature, who already knows a lot about science and engineering and technology and can find the experts who have the details quickly, so that in 5 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes, he or she can put that information in front of the president. That's the crisis mode. But then you also need to the president also is going to want to worry about the future of the country, we hope. Those are strategic issues, and it takes a little more time to put that together. But that's also the job of the science advisor, working now with all the federal agencies and others in the White House to map out a strategy that the president will hopefully address in his first and second terms, if he has a second term.
Some people are very worried that a de-emphasis on this could cause the U.S. to fall behind in innovation. How worried are you about that? Is that something in an ever-changing world of medicine, science, technology can happen pretty quickly?
Well, I mean, one side of me is not just worried, but I'm alarmed. There was a report that came out of the National Academy of Sciences and activity led by Norm Augustine, former CEO, retired CEO and chairman of Lockheed Martin. Norm Augustine, an engineer, led this study, which reported really in 2005 and then 2010, how far behind the United States was falling and how rapidly we were falling behind. We're 10th in the world, roughly, in ranking in the total public and private investment in research and development, which, of course, fuels all of innovation and competitiveness. So there's lots of reason to be concerned, and we're not getting any better. The federal government has a key role in supporting the more basic end of that and the development activities that relate to federal agency missions, but also the discovery end of the spectrum. If you don't discover things, then you can't really make things that are important to people. President Trump has sent to Congress the worst science budget in history, cutting the National Institutes of Health, which includes research on cancer and heart disease and Parkinson's and ALSA, cutting them by 22%. I mean, it's totally irresponsible. It's never happened before. No president has ever, I guess, taken the budget so lightly as to just simply send a cut, irrespective of the importance of the issues, to the Congress. That's a bad start for this administration on science, and that's why the president is being accused of being an anti-science president. My view is we don't give up on the administration. We tried everything we can to see that, to ensure that the president and all his appointed officials understand the importance of science technology and provide whatever advice and input we can, and work with the members of Congress and legislators and governors and business leaders all over the country who would agree, I think, with what I just said, namely, science and technology are fundamentally important to the future of the country, and we're worried that we're falling behind.
Now, climate change is an issue, obviously, that has become very partisan. Does it strike you that, this is becoming a more partisan issue, certainly much more partisan than it should, just the general nature of either science funding, science advising, whatnot?
Well, almost everything has become politically polarized, so nothing really is too surprising anymore. I was a little surprised he pulled out of the Paris Agreement because there was no argument against it. The United States was not legally bound to cut emissions by any amount. It was an unprecedented agreement with so many nations coming together, the developed world and the developing world, just to say, we're going to decide what we each can do, and we will make that choice, and we'll adjust that choice as time goes on, as progress is made. All we're really agreeing to do is sit down at the table and report on how it's going, and discuss ongoing assessments of the science and impacts on the world in the future. So it was a remarkable agreement, but for the United States to pull away from that and now have the G20 called the G19 because they don't care what we think anymore, that's embarrassing. You know, it's humiliating for the country and sad, I have to say.
Neil Lane is a senior fellow in science and technology policy at Rice University's Baker Institute. He was also former director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy. Neil, thanks so much for your insights. Very nice to talk with you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And you're listening to The Show.